All right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. It's time to talk about the week that was, and online with me, as is normally the case, and hopefully things are working well this morning. That will be a pleasant surprise in a lot of cases. Anyway, we got David Justice. We're going to talk about what is going on in the world, and let me say good morning, David, first. How are you doing?
I'm doing good and doing very well, actually. Looking at the world through the lens of the gospel. And that's what I hope we're doing all the time. And there's a lot of enigmas and contradictions in the world that that these news reports definitely ferret out. So thanks for having me on to offer a little color commentary.
Okay.
What's going on in the world?
Well, there's a lot, and what's interesting to me, it's another one of those weeks where most of the news falls into the category of things we've heard before. We're getting confirmations, more and more stuff out of Tulsi Gabbard about the level of evil that has been going on. We find out that, hey, guess what? The Biden-Fuhrer regime, which was nothing but a puppet state, the third term of Obama, continuing revelations of treason. They're not done yet. We have the situation in Texas, and we have the illegal immigration. And are we going to redraw the boundaries of various congressional districts? A lot of news on that front. Certainly there's news internationally with the war. Pick a war. We got several of them. Where do you think you'd like to start? What's kind of at the top of your list?
Well, you know, what's at the top of my list is election integrity. That's
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, yeah. The Secretary of State Jenna Griswold is doubling and tripling down. The Trump administration is Pam Bondi DOJ is investigating the state of Colorado and looking into it. And she is whining and complaining, and she has spinning the narrative that Trump is evil and the MAGA people are evil. And so she's championing this left-right paradigm of we're right, you're wrong. And she's doubling and tripling down on how secure Colorado's elections are. And the bigger picture that I'm seeing is, and again, this is a war not between left and right. It's a war of, you know, it's the biblical distinction of good versus evil. And right now there's a move by a malevolent just rotten to the core dictatorship that is trying to exercise control and dominion on the planet. And that's actually what's going on. And so the elections is just a means to that end. And Trump is attacking it, and rightly so, because there is fraud in that. And yet, because for lack of standing, it hasn't been able to be demonstrated yet. And so here's the Secretary of State of Colorado, the gold standard of election integrity.
But real quickly, David, what I hear, Jenna Griswold, now again, you're right, she is the Secretary of State of Colorado, and she is a true scumbag. If there is a bitch, and pardon my bluntness, but that's exactly the best word to describe this, this excuse for a female. The woman literally makes me think that some of the other traitors start to look almost honest by comparison. Jenna Griswold is truly slime of the earth. And to hear her talk about election integrity of Colorado is kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer giving a restaurant endorsement. That's my singular comment on her. I'd rather eat at Jeffrey's restaurant, to be honest.
Well, just as a positive note in that regard, Tina Peters is her case has been taken up, as we've talked about in previous episodes, on a habeas corpus petition, and it appears very likely, more likely than not, that she'll be out of jail by the end of the month on the grounds that when she was denied bail, the basis for denying her bail was the judge said on the record, we're afraid of what you might say. So basically, it flies in the face of the First Amendment. And so they're taking her habeas corpus, and they took it into federal court based upon the court sentenced her and wouldn't let her out on bond. the habeas corpus, the objective is to get her out, at least pending appeal of her conviction. But the crux of the case, and that's what's about to be argued, and that's what's coming up on or about the 21st, 22nd of August, is she has the right to say whatever she wants to say. And that's the whole beauty of the First Amendment, is it tells the government, in the marketplace of ideas, you shall not silence anyone. And so that's an exciting thing coming up at the end of this month. But if Tina loses this case, we all lose. So the left, or the globalist agenda, the malevolent evil of this planet, is being represented through people like Jenna Griswold and Barack Obama, who now we know issued the order of a hit on President.
Well, let's come back to that one in a second. Make sure we flesh out all the details there.
Okay.
So, just one treasonous scandal at a time. With respect to Tina Peters, basically the new news here is you're hearing that maybe we'll see her out of prison by the end of the month if she survives that long. Hopefully she will. And of course, the real issue there is the deep state, are the traitors going to be able to get away with when somebody actually does their job and exposes fraud in elections and preserves election materials like she is statutorily required to do, and they punish her, penalize her, put her in prison as a message to everybody else. Are there going to be people actually held responsible for acts of and it is, it's treason, it's making war upon the people, because if you don't have honest elections, and in fact if they're able to do what they did, and in the case of Obama it's arguably even worse, you know, we had an election, they couldn't rig it, so let's just make sure we torpedo the incoming administration. You know, do we have a rule of law? Are we going to see anything that ever comes out of this? And on that score, the jury is still out on literally all up and down the line.
Here's the frustrating thing, Mark. This is the big that you asked me how I'm doing. This is something that I actually have anxiety about. Lawyers, their job is to win. And they have a propensity of twisting and spinning the law in a way that benefits their clients. Jenna Griswold is a lawyer. She's going to be running for state attorney general. She worked for the Obama administration. She was one of his lawyers. I've been watching the law for a long time, and I've been watching the evolution of this law. And law is being used as a weapon. They've weaponized the law itself. They've weaponized faith. They've weaponized love. It's like everything that can be weaponized against good people, people that want to do the right thing and do the truth and function in the realm of truth versus the realm of the narrative and the lies. Everything that the globalists have done is used at the forefront of everything they've done is they've used the law as a weapon. So it's really frustrating to watch as the Colorado legislature comes in and passes law that actually validate Jenna Griswold and gives her more power to write regulations to basically cover her crimes using the law as a means to cover up the crimes that she's committed. And so it's a frustrating thing for me to watch how the Colorado legislature and the Secretary of State and the Attorney General is being used in a game of manipulation to cover up the treason that they've committed. And I'm watching it right in real time. And so now here comes Trump trying to figure out how to get back to paper ballots before the next election and get around this whole Dominion scam while simultaneously laws are being passed in the state of Colorado that basically validate the corruption. It's an amazing thing to watch, Mark.
Well, and it is, and there's a discussion every now and then. Trump will talk about sending in troops to take out people that are doing evil things like assaulting ICE officers and blocking the deportation of criminal illegals and invaders and so forth. And honestly, even though that is vitally important, we've got lots and lots of invaders. The true threat, as Cicero pointed out, is the traitor within your gates. And Jenna Griswold is probably the poster child nationally for just how evil it is to have a Secretary of State that committed election crime fraud. I mean, remember, folks, if you didn't hear this, before the 2024 election, they published on the website of the Secretary of State the hidden passwords for the BIOS and the operating system, basically the back door to rig the election. So the election in Colorado was invalid on every level. It was a complete violation of state and federal law. And why the hell wasn't the election decertified? Well, we know, because it was criminal. And all of the people involved, literally every single one of them, should be on charges. And they're not. Now, go ahead,
Dave. Of course, she was, and I put this in air quotes, she was exonerated by an investigation into that, and they blamed some low-level technician who accidentally, it wasn't intentional, of course, inadvertently posted those things behind the hidden tab that if you didn't hit the tab, you'd never see it anyway. Plus,
in other words, if you didn't have the inside information and know where the Dropbox keys were, you wouldn't have been able to rig the election like their insiders did. The problem,
exactly.
David, we talked about this before the election. This came out before November of last year. In other words, Jenna Griswold knew damned well, pardon my French, that the election was bogus and that the election was compromised, and they let it go ahead. They should have fessed up and said, nope, we cannot certify an election where the passwords have been out there and the entire system has zero integrity and everybody knows it that's paying attention. This is infuriating.
Yeah, one of the things about Tina Peters' trial is they put a lot of emphasis on the fact that she took a videotape of what was going on during the trusted build that she did before and after photos to catch these guys red-handed, you know, with the fact that they were deleting files that Tina was required to keep. But the BIOS password ended up being leaked upon the internet when her video got posted, and she didn't know it was being posted. But that caused the entire need to decertify Mesa County machines. And this was not even during an election. This was at a time in between elections during a trusted build. They decertified the election machines, and they got a whole new system in there. This was. And then they blamed Tina for all they gave her. They assigned her all. They assessed her all of the costs for the new equipment. While Jenna, on October 31st, she finally fessed up to the BIOS passwords being online. But she just sent her agents out to each county to reset the BIOS and didn't decertify any of those machines. So. Talk about a contradiction. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, it's a level of criminality that is so in your face that it's surprising to me that the Colorado populace puts up with it. And obviously,
well, it's not criminality; it's war. Okay. We've really got to get our minds around these people are fighting for their lives. If Trump is successful, and I believe he's going to be, we just haven't seen the prosecutions. It was Hillary, and I can't say what she said, but she said that we were going to be hung. We're going to hang at the end of a rope if Trump wins, and he's moving that way. So they have to stop him no matter the cost. So breaking the law, it's not a big deal to them anymore. They're going to break whatever law because they're making every effort to establish their criminal syndicate as the rule of law in this country, Mark. That's what's up. That's what we're up against.
Well, okay, and so let's go to the other story that you sent me the link to. I am certainly aware, because I think the evidence is legion, to pardon the biblical pun, that Obama and Comey, Clapper, Brennan, the usual suspects, not only had Operation Crossfire Hurricane going, but the Secret Service, as we know, was implicated in the assassination attempt in Butler. Implicated is probably an understatement. I think basically the level of incompetence defies credulity. In other words, nobody is really that stupid. Even the moron that was the puppet that was in charge that they fired as the head of the Secret Service couldn't have been that stupid. Now, it took a coordinated effort to make sure that the Pats Nazi got into the circle where he was able to target the president. And I believe that in spite of the fact that they've covered up a lot of the evidence, that there were multiple shooters there. But in any case, this is the news that has come out. Now, I would say this is single source. I have not seen a second source on it. Tulsi Gabbard has not yet released this information, as far as I'm aware. There's been so much that's come out that maybe it has been, but I wouldn't be surprised because the press isn't going to talk about it. But essentially, the files that she has declassified, according to a story from the Lou Rockwell site, and the byline here is, Jonathan Gregory out of Washington, and basically it's that under the pretense of national security, the off-the-books task force was convened. You know some of the names. One document was marked Eyes Only 44, and it says, quote, now this is, of course, in the last days of the Obama Fuhrer regime, quote, the threat that Trump poses to international stability cannot be overstated. Removal, if necessary, is justified. In other words, we'll kill the SOB. Am I wrong? Is that exactly what this seems to be coming out and saying?
No, that's what it says. And so Tulsi, who is declassifying this, and she's already come out and accused Obama of treason.
Absolutely.
And Trump is doubling down. He's calling for his arrest for treason. And so
Obama?
Now
that's news to me, too.
I'm sorry.
Did you say Trump is calling for the arrest of Obama for treason?
Yes. Yeah. So Trump is because of what Tulsi's saying, Trump has been tweeting or coming out on his Truth Social, flat out accusing Obama of treason. So that, you know, here we got a current president accusing a former president of treason. So it's just a matter of time, I think. He is attempting to bring the accusation into the eyes of the public by he's baiting the media to criticize him for making a statement like that. So this is Trump's tactic. He loves to make the statement and then see it's like throwing a grenade in the room and then walking away and then coming back and seeing what carnage he's done. He does that with his words. He does that with his everything he does is about stirring the pot so that he ferrets out the villains and the dark side of this whole regime. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, and this is big news. I mean, seriously, if we step back and ask what is the biggest news of the last, let's say, a century and a half prior to the treason of 1913 or so anyway, and that was, of course, the time when we had the Federal Reserve and its enforcement arm, the IRS, and the destruction of the United States Senate via the amendment that says, we're not going to let the states have control over the senators anymore, so we're going to gut that particular check and balance on federal power. But since that time, this is the biggest deal. We have a president literally sitting in office and saying, we're going to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. There will not be a Trump administration. They will not be allowed to take power. First thing they did openly was they got rid of the one guy in the administration, General Michael Flynn, that knew what was going on and would have been able to at least help to stop them. So they silenced him right off the bat. And then what they did is they covered it up. They rigged an election to put Biden in there and covered it up for four more years while they consolidated their gains. The question, of course, at this point is not only will the treason be exposed, we know about it. Pretty much everybody has known about it for years. The evidence is now coming forward. So I would suggest, while it's not been adjudicated in a so-called court of law, if we still have those anymore, everybody that's paying attention now realizes that Obama committed open treason. He was guilty, and by the way, there is no constitutional protection for a president to commit treason while in office. The reason he puts his hand on a Bible and swears that the laws be faithfully executed is because that's what he's supposed to do. So when he basically says, F that, I'm going to completely undermine the law and elections and the constitutional republic and anything else I can get away with, he is not acting as president. He's acting as a traitor. So we need to understand that. And then we'll see where we go from here.
Well, and this is what we're dealing with is will we continue on with a constitutional republic, or is the constitutional republic dead, and Trump is attempting to revive it by by turning the tables upon those who killed it. It's a counterinsurgency. What Trump is still doing is a counterinsurgency. The other side has had power for 16 years. And actually it goes beyond 16 years, because we now know that Clapper was engaged in doing the same thing under the Bush administration that he did under the Obama administration.
He was knee deep in the weapons of mass destruction and the BS against Saddam Hussein and the war there.
Right. But if you go and let's not cut any slack at all. We trace this all the way back to the private Federal Reserve system and those that run it, and the private banking system of this country, and the treason that occurred back in the day, and now we run up to 1933. Louis D. McFadden distinguished the treason. We've been living under a treasonous regime that has been contrary to the principles of constitutional law. If we were living, how do I say this? I've asked this question rhetorically. We don't know what it's like to live in a state of freedom outside of treason, because most of us have been born and raised inside of a completely corrupted system.
We can't even
comprehend what freedom actually looks like if we were living under a constitutional republic. So by Trump starting to pull on that thread, he has to take us back, if he's legitimate, has to take us back to put us under a gold standard, just weights and measures system, and revive the constitutional republic that the founding fathers had in mind, Mark.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've talked about this before, and I do date the fall of the republic to 1913 and those two amendments. But you're also correct that March the 9th, 1933 was the wooden stake in it, and most Americans aren't aware of it. We've seen some of the books that have been written, Constitution, Fact or Fiction, and some others. But most Americans have, in fact, as the foreword of that one says, lived their entire lives under a state of declared and often not admitted national emergency. It was declared and certified on the starting in March of 1933 under the evil, traitorous Roosevelt, under the guise of, this is an equivalent state to war. So it's kind of like war. So we're going to declare wartime powers and we're going to use these things. And literally that state of emergency in one form or another, variations on it and new ones, new states of emergency being declared, but one or multiple, and usually lots of them, states of emergency have been running simultaneously, all of them with the singular point of undermining a constitutional government since 1933. We have not had a single day when we've not been under one or more states of emergency.
And that's what the New Deal was really all about, was establishing this fourth branch of government, this administrative state, this administrative communism. And that's what we're all familiar with. It's difficult to imagine a world where, you know, we don't have an administrative agency to be answerable to. And so the system that is in operation now that Trump is actually taking on would require taking this entire system apart, reestablishing a new foundation for the monetary system, which is what I believe he's doing with the tariffs. And it's uncomfortable as heck right now because he's the guy that decided not to kick the can down the road anymore. And because he's made that decision, it feels very awkward because he's transitioning, it appears to me. He's transitioning out of the old system, and he's bringing us into a new system, which, you know, this is a very dangerous time because, you know, we all, those of us that know Scripture, know that about the digital, you know, revolution that we're probably looking at. I've had some interesting conversations with people that are very frustrated about Trump. But at the same time, I have to give him a pass, knowing that he has to take down a system of administration that is a drug cartel.
Okay.
And reestablish something new.
Well, we're at the break. We've got lots to talk about, folks. We'll be back right after the bottom of the hour. Welcome back, folks, to the second half now of the Drive Time Friday Show. We got lots to talk about today, and one of the things that is certainly on the list has to do with what we're calling it Doomsday, the great big beautiful tariffs in this particular case that took effect this week. And so what we saw were a number of nations that had agreed to negotiate with the United States. They included the European Union and Japan, most recently South Korea. But midweek or so, Donald Trump's tariffs on over 60 other countries, basically he said, you know, the whole world is going to either line up and do it or not. They went into effect at midnight on the, night of the 6th into the 7th, I believe. And as a result, most of them, about 15% or so higher. Tariffs could be as high as 50%. There were some exceptions and some variations. And again, a few of the nations signed up and made separate deals. But the tariffs, the reciprocal tariffs as they were called, took effect this week. He wrote that on Truth Social and said that we're going to see how this plays out. There are largely countries that have taken advantage of the United States for many years, he said, and now the coffers are going to start flowing with the tariff revenue. There is a whole lot to this, and it's interesting that some of the doomsday predictions from the leftist economists primarily haven't taken effect. I'm certainly one of those who acknowledges that tariffs are in fact constitutional, unlike some of the other revenue mechanisms that have been employed. And the question is just how good of a deal are they and how's it going to work out? The theory I'm on board with, and that is that if we impose tariffs on nations that essentially have been punishing the United States anyway, that's part of the argument, but that would allow some protection for U.S. industries, maybe a reason to start thinking about building factories in the United States, bringing industry back. We don't have steel anymore. I even saw a story this morning saying, did you know the United States is no longer able to centrifuge and refine uranium? We can no longer enrich uranium in this country. That's incredible. So many things have been deliberately gutted by the previous administrations. It is a hell of a lot easier to destroy nations and economies than it is to reconstruct them. So anyway, the concept is the tariffs will hopefully provide some protection for industries to relocate to the United States. Problem is, it takes years, and most of the factories that were shut down simply cannot be reopened. They don't exist. They were dismantled and shipped to places like communist China. So we got a problem on that score. We'll see whether the tariffs are able to help bridge the gap. But as it is, the United States is basically dead anyway. Stick a fork in it economically. So go ahead, David. Anywhere you'd like to go.
You know, we have to learn from history or we're destined to repeat it. The Weimar Republic in the 1930s tanked because the fiat currency back in the day became worthless. Germany was suffering from a Germany was destroyed because of the First World War. And so we're in that place right now in America. It's the Federal Reserve System that was implemented in 1913 has a shelf life. It is a monopoly over the monetary system. It's private. So a few benefit at the expense of the many. We basically compete for goods and services off from the scraps that fall off the table of the profiteers who operate the monetary system. The monetary system is supposed to be a utility to facilitate buying and selling. Instead, it has become a means of corruption, and it has empowered and caused a few to become extremely wealthy. This thing has a shelf life. It is I said monopoly, but it's what do you call it when you got a pyramid scheme? It's a pyramid scheme. So we're at the shelf life now, and we're watching the prices of everything skyrocket. Trump comes along. Well, let me throw in one other element. The other element that happened in 1913 was the 16th Amendment was allegedly passed. And under the 16th Amendment, the federal government eventually set up an income tax system. And that has been what has been funding the federal government. The American people have become an ATM for all of the governments.
Well, let me pause you just a second. I don't disagree with what you're saying, with the exception of the word funding. Because the truth of the matter is, your income taxes don't fund anything. All they do is kind of like a bathtub drain. If the water kept running in and you didn't continue to allow the water to go out, it would eventually overflow. So the way to think of the income tax is as a ruse. Because the federal government can print every single dollar it wants. And they have. They've printed literally trillions upon trillions of them. So you're not funding anything. They can simply print it. The only thing that the IRS and the income tax does is the enforcement arm to convince you that those dollars are worth something because they want them, and therefore that's the claim, but it's not real. If they didn't tax a single American, they could still print the money. The difference is people would say, well, wait a minute, they're printing it out of nothing. So all it is a ruse to hide the fact that that's precisely what's going on anyway. Go ahead.
I completely stand corrected. Good catch. It's an accounting system where we all tell on ourselves. We report to the federal government every aspect of our lives because we believe that we owe this income tax to the government. And so the government now has an accounting of each individual because each individual reports every year what they're accounting. So it's an element of an accounting system under a private economic system. So
well, and you give consent too. The government depends on the consent of the governed, and so that you're giving consent. I declare under penalty of perjury. Yeah, I'm a good little slave. You can't make me do this, says the Fifth Amendment. You cannot be forced to testify against yourself. But they'll fine you if you don't sign it and sign away your Fifth Amendment rights. How's that for ironic?
I was part of Robert Schultz did back in 2008, 2009. I was part of we went to Washington, and we put together a demand under the First Amendment for accountability to show us the law that actually makes anyone required to file a tax return, and they don't have it. Anyway, we petitioned and for redress of grievance in this context, and we had about 100 questions that the IRS couldn't answer and the Treasury Department couldn't answer. Be that as it may, I'm convinced that there is no law actually requiring an individual to file it return. It is truly a voluntary system, but if you don't volunteer, then they want to bring out their enforcement arm. But we'll talk to, I think it was Joe Bannister that came out, who was a former IRS agent, and he stood against that. And Sherry Jackson as well, she was an IRS agent. Joined the side of believing and championing the idea that there is no law that makes it mandatory. Okay, I'm just laying a foundation. So America has gone along with this consensual participation in a financial scheme that makes us all accountable, and that's how they do their bookkeeping. Trump now is coming along, and it appears that he's taking us away from the income tax system. He's taking us away from the Federal Reserve system. Let me make sure I throw this in. It's going to collapse because we're at the end of its shelf life. And the spiraling inflation, which is what we saw in Weimar Germany back in the day, is what we're experiencing now. It was inevitable whether Trump took off.
Absolutely.
Or not. This is the place where we end up under this type of fiat system. It is destined to collapse, and we are living inside that destiny. So we can't lay all the blame at Trump.
Hell no.
He's coming in. He's coming in with an idea. Why don't we try it the way the Constitution provides? And that's through tariffs. That's the way the government is supposed to be funded, is through tariffs. In an honest monetary system, the people aren't supposed to be taxed because the people are sovereign. The people are the autonomous one. But through a reversal, through a coup d'etat that happened in between 1913 and 1933, the government became sovereign, and the government is not sovereign. The government's a servant.
But the coup already happened. Now we're here, we are living in 2025, and it's difficult for most people to comprehend that the people are actually the autonomous one in the relationship. Okay, having laid that foundation, Trump is going down the road of tariffs. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But if he to continue to do this is his way of sustaining America through a critical collateral falling apart and a lot of people being hurt financially, destroyed financially, because that's what happened in the Weimar Republic back in the 1930s. We knew that as the Great Depression in the United States. We were going to go through that now, whether Trump took office or not.
Well,
I'm of the of school of thought. Go ahead.
Well, one quick addition, and that simply is
okay.
That the Big Brother and the banksters and those who put the system in place know that it will collapse. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever. They know it, and they intend to profit from it. They will have an alternative in place, and as many economists have noted, what we're watching will be the greatest wealth transfer in human history. They're going to steal everything that was based on the fiat dollar and replace it with the new system, which, guess what? They'll have first crack at, they will have the ownership of and the ability to print and so forth. Now, there are a lot of elements, and this is kind of what you were alluding to, that that Trump is involved in that I'm not sure that I'm on board with. For example, the Genius Act and the CBDCs. Some will say, well, it's inevitable. We got to have the replacement because the dollar is going to collapse. That is true. On the other hand, is replacing it with something worse that is a big step towards the mark of the beast? I don't believe that is the right answer, but that is probably the answer we're going to get. Anyway, so I want to simply make that clear that the system is going to collapse, you're right, and the intent is the insiders, as always, will win, and the American people will get screwed, and there's no polite way to put it. So the question is, what can they do? And there are a number of things that he's talked about. I'll throw one more on the table, then let you comment. And that would be, for example, revaluing the gold reserves if they still exist. I've heard numbers $5,000, $20,000, maybe $40,000 an ounce, which would at least allegedly help with some of the shortfalls. And essentially, it'd be like adding some zeros to the dollars that are required to buy things.
The only disagreement that I'd have with everything you just said is that it's not going to collapse. We are in the collapse.
You're correct. Yeah, it's a fait accompli. It's in progress.
Yeah, it's in progress. And so that's why we're seeing the outrageous prices and et cetera, because we're in the collapse. And this is what the collapse looks like. As the dollar becomes worthless, the value of stuff becomes greater. And so stuff is and this is why Weimar, back in the Weimar, everybody's heard the story of at the end of the day, people would go cash their check and try to buy goods, because if they didn't, they would lose the value of the transaction. So that's where we're at today. Now, by going down the road of tariffs, Trump, it appears to me, is attempting to do a transition so that we don't have to go through what the Weimar Republic went through. Now, it was painful back in the Weimar Republic. It's going to be painful today. Trump knows that. And so his gamble is, let me bring in tariffs in an attempt to stop the bleeding. And it's still going to be painful, but they're going to blame Trump. But it's going to be painful. So he has an idea to transfer to bring billions of dollars in so that he can have a means of America not, America's financial system not crashing while he makes a transition to another type of system. And here's the scary part, because we're living in the age of AI and the internet and digital, where reality is, I don't think he can do anything but take us in to a system that will ultimately culminate in the mark of the beast, Mark.
Well, I mean, we know that that's what's going to happen. I mean, let's just be honest. Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. We can see that it's been set up. And I can't disagree, because I don't think that there's anything going to stop it at this point. And, the only question has always been when, not if or how. How maybe, but in any case, you're right. It's in progress, and we'll see how it plays out. What I think is kind of fascinating about this is the process of the transition itself. And certainly there are things that individuals can do. I would encourage folks, I mean, if you don't have some real options, if you are fully invested in the dollar and you're exposed to what's going to happen, well, get unexposed. Buy some gold, buy some silver, do some things that you need to do while you still can. And it's hopefully there'll be some things that Trump will do to try to mitigate this for Americans. I do like the fact, for example, that he's come out and he's told people, hey, buy this stock or do this. And I think he'll tell people, here's what we're going to do. Buy this and be ready because it's going to happen. Interesting. And of course, the media will squeal and lie about it anyway.
Well, so here's a report. You know, yes, the tariffs went into effect yesterday. And so Commerce Secretary Howard Ludwig has predicted that $50 billion in monthly revenue is going to come in from new import taxes. That's $50 billion a month. So Trump is engaged in trying to level the playing field across the planet by extracting monies that he feels is owed to the United States. So he's shifting the balance of power through economic strategies. So $50 billion in monthly revenue, and that's the Commerce Secretary reporting that. But the question is, and we're going to live through it, we're going to see firsthand what the Weimar Republic people probably didn't get it. No, they didn't get a chance to see because there wasn't the alternatives that we have today. So whatever we're experiencing, this is the first time in history that the fiat currency system has lost its power where another idea came along through a guy who recognized exactly what was about to happen. And that was the crash of the system. Had Obama and Biden and the other cartel, had they won this election, I guarantee you, it would have been really ugly. There's no question that they were going to take us down this path of totalitarian dictatorship. They were going to implement the mark, and it would have been under the rules of a dictatorship. Look at Tina Peters and all of the people that were persecuted while Biden was in office. That's the way we were going to go. At least Trump has created an opportunity to not go that direction. And so it's yet to be known exactly how this is going to pan out. And I think that's going to be up to people like us, Mark, and people that are aware of the totality of the circumstances and looking for alternatives. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's see here. We have a number of other things we probably need to talk about today. Anything else that you want to make sure we toss out on the table before we run out of time? I've got several items that we can that we can mention. Let's go here then.
Go ahead.
One would be Texas and the redistricting proposals, gerrymandering, bunches of names. When the Democrats do it, it's just fine. And, of course, you look at the state of Illinois, you look at the state of Massachusetts, where there's not a single Congress critter that, is a Republican, even though Trump took at least 40% of the vote that they admit. So something is going on there. Anyway, they're squealing like stuck pigs because of what was going on in Texas and the redistricting proposals that were there. We have some sworn representatives that escaped to where else? Gerrymandering paradise, Illinois, where they're being sheltered, and lots of stink about that situation. I guess my only comment there is, we'll see what happens. There is more that's coming on it, though. Anything on your plate you want to mention there?
Well, and so in retaliation, what Trump is talking about doing is he wants to do a new census. The reason
that's where I was going to go. That's exactly right.
The reason that they want to redistrict is because they have all these illegals in here, and they want to capitalize on the Electoral College and it's all about power. It's all about power. And so Trump, in retaliation to their idea, they're getting all upset because they want to redistrict to favor them. Trump wants to do a census and exclude all the illegals so that they can't. So even if they did redistrict, it wouldn't make any difference. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I mean, and that's an interesting concept. So basically, because the redistricting proposals are based on population, and as it turns out, a lot of the population, people have known this for years, has been imported in order not just to rig elections, of course, that's been a big part of it, but also to destroy the country, to destroy the fabric of the culture, and so forth. But so what Trump is saying is, well, let's just go ahead, do another census here, and then we'll have a better understanding of the redistricting process. And guess what that means? What it means is that there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be losing seats, and they mostly have a D behind their name, or at least a communist situation.
Well, and there's just as this is a little off topic, but there's just as many people with an R behind their name that are part of the globalist system, and so it's
but that's not how the redistricting will work. It's going to be there'll be people that will lose their seats essentially.
Exactly. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay.
To the next story.
We got about three more stories. Okay, let's talk briefly about this one. Armenia and Azerbaijan. They're coming to Washington. There's going to be a big signing ceremony, evidently. Will there be peace in a war that's been going on for a number of years? That'll be interesting to watch too. There's discussion about, the man of peace, and has Trump in fact been able to produce a situation where, we'll see a level of peace that we haven't seen in a long time.
Trump recognizes who the real enemy on this planet is. It's the singular puppet masters who are controlling the world through their private monetary system. And all of the nations of the world are beholden to this puppet master that sits in the background. And, can we even put a name on him or them? But so Trump realizes, it appears to me, if we're not being duped by Trump, that Trump recognizes that the real enemy is above the nations, not at the level of the nations. So whatever he's doing, he's negotiating settlements to these wars, and granted, he has the appearance of facilitating by being involved with Israel and Israel's war in Gaza. But I don't know. Again, we're talking collateral damage, and we're talking tactics and strategies. I don't live up in that world, so it's difficult for me to even comment on it. I don't know what he's doing, but it appears to me that he is at least moving in the direction of being a man of peace and bringing peace to the world. I know that he's having an effect inside the Ukraine war over there. But go ahead and take us to the next story, Mark.
Well, the other story related, same subject, has to do with, is Trump going to meet with Putin? And if so, it might be this next few days or perhaps over the weekend. It was interesting because just a few days ago, the story was, the war is coming apart at the seams. And now all of a sudden, in spite of the rhetoric, it looks like Trump and Putin may sit down. We'll see that, too, if it happens over the next few days.
Well, it's become a war of attrition. If you take away the money from Ukraine and they can't fight the war because they don't have any money, then it becomes a function of attrition. And so, yeah, he can force a settlement. When if there's no means of fighting the war, there's no money, then you have to settle. The war is a racket. Smedley Butler pointed that out back in the day. The only reason that we have war is because it's so profitable. And so Trump understands that, and he's forcing a settlement of these wars by taking the profit out of them. And at least that's what he's giving us the appearance of.
Okay. Anything else? We've got less than 30 seconds before we wrap things up today that you want to make sure we touch on before we're done?
We are, it's really important scripturally. All things work together for good, for those that love the Lord. What we're going through is the natural evolution of Eve having eaten off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we give our consent by buying into the narratives of the world. So we've got to be really careful because the world is a trap. And so, we are living in the age of a culmination of a globalist dictatorship. And so what Trump is providing is at least a level playing field where the people are aware of what's going on this planet. Whereas before Trump came along, they had this thing in the bag.
Okay. Well, we are in the bag at least for the day and the week. So thanks for us. Shabbat shalom.